You'll get to hear just a little bit more from Nate as later on when we close up. But can we just thank the Lord for hearing some of the things that we just heard? That look what he's doing and moving and being to the world today. Awesome. Okay, so we've been teaching for a number of weeks on the leadership lessons of Moses, right? And talked about a little bit last week that a lot of times leadership is really just a manifestation of character. So it's almost like character lessons of Moses. And so today we're going to talk about believing beyond seeing, okay? And especially what I want to focus on today is how the Spirit moves and how the Lord draws us, all right? So last week I opened up out of Exodus chapter 33, and I'm not going to reread everything. It's just a lot of text, and I have other places I want to go. But I want to share again the pieces of the conversation that really stuck out, because they're going to play into what I'm sharing on today. So Moses is having this conversation with the Lord in the tent of meeting, and it sets it up really well. It's like Moses would go out and he'd spend time with the Lord in the tent of meeting, and the Lord would speak to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Face to face as a man speaks with his friend. I couldn't think of something more beautiful. And so in that conversation, in that opportunity, he says, Lord, you've said, I'm going to send somebody with you to go into, to lead the into the land, but you haven't told me who it is. And then he says, you have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. And Moses says, if it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Okay, let me know your ways so that I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And in response to that, the Lord says, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. And he says, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. Sets us apart. And the Lord says, I will indeed do what you've asked, for I look favorably on you, in case you didn't catch it, and I know you by name. Okay, so the Lord comes and he says, I know you by name. I look favorably on you. I'm going to give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. He says all these good things. Clearly, the Lord is invested to Moses, right? He has taken hold of Moses. He's claimed Moses as his own, all right? He called him by name. And was it a situation where Moses went out into the wilderness and he's like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to really look for the Lord today. And if I look hard enough, I think I'll find him. No, that's not how the story went, right? Now, maybe that is, and that's just not a part that got written into the word, you know? But what happened as I read it is that he went out and he saw this strange sight. And what was it? Burning bush. But what happened? It didn't burn up, right? So the Lord reaches out and he gets this guy's attention. Now, look, he's like, what, 80 years old? Something like that? 80 years old before his story really starts. Okay, 80 years old. And the kindness of God comes to him and falls and starts a whole new thing. So there's this idea that I want to talk about today of what it means to take hold of something. Okay, to take hold of something. And I'm going to use the word that comes out of the New Testament, and I'm going to butcher it, okay? But calambaño, something like that, all right? But it means to lay hold of and to claim something for yourself, to put your hands on something and to claim it for yourself, okay? Now, this is exactly what the Lord does. Out of the goodness and the kindness of his heart, he reaches out and he grabs hold of his people. He calls them his own. He calls them by name. And what happens as a result is it births a spiritual hunger, something that you can't just find by human means, something that only can be done when he touches you. And he births it out of the goodness of his heart. He takes hold and he lays claim. So we see this in Moses' conversation, because what happens is he's like, show me your ways so that I could understand you more fully and continue in your favor. Moses is well aware of his favor. It's not like he's an immature believer at this point, right? He's been through the desert. He's been through all kinds of miracles. He's believed. He's been faithful to God, all right? And still, he's like, show me. Let me see. What would drive such a hunger that you would be in that kind of a place? You know, the Bible says that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. That's a compliment and a half, right? That'll never be said about me. Sadly. The most humble man on the face of the earth, okay? And he says, he grew up in riches as a prince. And then he wandered the deserts as a shepherd. He's seen it all. He's like 80 at this point. He's seen all these things. And when he actually has this conversation, he's older than that. And he says, I just want you. Teach me your ways. And he's learned a lot of his ways already, but he's still like, just keep teaching me. I want to understand you more fully so I could continue in what's happening here. That's what happened when the Lord touches you. When he reaches down and takes hold of you, he, in other words, claims you for his own. And now you're never the same, because it birthed in you. It gave permission for your spirit to rise. So God being the same yesterday, today, and forever, do you think he still does that today? Always. Always. Still does it today. So that being the case, talking today's terms, because we're all here in the house to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ, who set us free. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. No one can come unless the Father draws them. What does it mean to draw them? Like if someone was to draw you, is that to get your attention? To make you curious? To give you desire for something? Now, where does that desire come from if you didn't have it before? Except that in his kindness, he reached down and he took hold of you and he touched you. And you want proof of it? Why is every single person in this room sitting here right now? Because the Lord has done something in their life, in their week, in their moment, in their morning, that has drawn them and given them purpose to sit in the seat you're sitting in right now. Do you see that he is still doing it exactly the same today? And did it matter if you met him last week or if you met him 30 years ago? He still does it day after day after day. Because why? Out of his goodness, out of his favor, he wants you to know him. And he wants to be known. And man, does he love you. Moses got that. He's like, I want to know you because I want to continue in your favor. I want to continue in this awesome thing, this good thing. I've experienced riches. I've experienced poverty. I've experienced everything in between. And man, I've seen a lot of wild stories and nothing compares to this. And when he touches you, it births that spiritual hunger in your heart. Where now you want to take hold of him. You know what that word to take hold of him? You know, we talked about how it's to claim something for yourself. It also means to understand something, to try to comprehend something or learn something. Okay? So you could try to take hold of your finances. In other words, to understand how they work, to comprehend how they work, to grasp them. To bridge the gap. So it's interesting, out of the goodness of his heart, he touches us, and now we want to take hold of him. It's not something you can find by human wisdom, and he always is the initiator. He's always the initiator. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. John 15, 16. You didn't choose me. I chose you. Hebrews 12, 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Do you see? Like every time something of the Lord's favor comes and touches your life, or when you just, when you feel encouraged, let's put it this way, when you feel drawn to Him, if you follow that trail, it will always go back to a place where the favor of God reached down and took hold of you. And it could have been in one of your circumstances. It could have been that you found hope in something that you didn't have hope before and you just couldn't explain it. You know, last night I was, I've had a really busy week, And I was a little stressed out about all these things I had to do last night to get ready for something today. And I was like, man, I'm overwhelmed. I started to feel that anxiety. And I was like, you know, like this does not sit well with me. This is not right. So I got on my knees in my bedroom and I was like, you know what, Lord? There's no reason for me to hurry. There's no reason for me to hurry and rush and get out of control when I have perfect peace sitting here with you right now. And you know what? And as I sat there on my knees in my bedroom, I just reached out and I'm like, I'm so thankful that you've given me a word that I know is life or death to people. That you speak things that they need. That you have not given up on me even when I felt like I gave up on you at times. And I just sat there so thankful. And you know what? None of my circumstances had changed yet, but I had peace. And you know what? He gave me a return on my time. All of a sudden, I started practicing, and it was moving forward. I started working through some things. I got a lot done in the last 12 hours. Why? Because I want to know His ways. He touched me. He drew me to Him. And I'm like, gosh, there is something so much better about how you do it and how you're saying it. Like, and the only way I find out is by trying it and trusting you. Show me your way so that I could know you better and I could enjoy a favor like you meant it. That favor that you came to me with when you first showed up to me. Present my whole life. Gosh, and the story, I mean, I remember like 2 years ago, I was sitting in a cafe and I was asking the Lord about something in my life, and He's showing me these pieces, how they come together, and He brought me back to this memory of when I was in eighth grade. Like, they had this eighth grade graduation meeting, and this man prophesied over me at that meeting, and I had no context to that. I wasn't a believer until I was like, you know, 19 is when I really committed. That was eighth grade, and the Lord shows me, hey, there were people speaking over your life that I appointed for that well before you were aware of it. Think about that. Because when He reaches and He takes hold of you, it births a hunger where you're like, okay, I want this. I want to take hold of you. I want to know what's in your heart. I want to know what it means when you say rest. I want to know what it means when you say have courage. I want to know what it means when you say trust. And give me the faith to do that. Give me the faith to rest. The faith to trust. To have courage. Man, if you have the faith for it, gosh, you can, man, what can you do? So many things. He works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. So He always starts it out. So, last I checked, I have not tangibly seen the Lord just walk up to me and grab hold of me and go. Tangibly. Yet has it happened? You know how it's happened? By the Spirit. And here's how you can tell the move of the Spirit. So Jesus had this conversation with a guy named Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. But Nicodemus wanted to actually hear what Jesus had to say. He wanted to understand. And so in John chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. So when He reaches out and He takes hold of you, what does He do? Birth a spiritual hunger in you. Okay, He births spiritual hunger in you. Now, then He goes on to say, The Holy Spirit is like the wind. Can you see the wind? No. How do you know that it exists? Because you see everything it does, right? Like I said a minute ago, everything that everyone in here in this room right now is because the Lord has at some point reached out, taken hold of you, and given you hunger to chase after him, to worship him, to give thanks, to see what this life is all about in him. You see the effects. So therefore, you know that it's happening. Have eyes to see. Look at what the Lord is doing and how many things have happened for you to be here. So well thought through. He says, my thoughts for you are as countless as the sand on the seashore. Man, it's evident. If you start following these trails of how you got here and what's been happening in your life, it's as plain as day if you look at it. But he said, the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. You can't do it through human means. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. In other words, you know what your best shot to know his ways and understand him is? Take his invitation. When he draws that spiritual hunger in you, when he reaches down and takes hold of you and you feel prompted and hungry, let it take over you. Let it take over you. Paul encouraged Timothy in this. He's like, man, give yourself totally to what the Lord spoke over you through these people. I mean, totally, like without reservation. Don't let anything hinder it. Cast off everything that entangles you and just run for it. Go for it. Why? Because he's trying to show you the favor that he started with when he came to you in the first place. Before Jesus came, what was the message of the angels? Goodwill toward men. Don't be afraid. Goodwill toward men. Same thing here. And again, he gives everything we need. All that needs to work out according to his purpose. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Do you see that all of this started with the kindness and favor of God? And any desire you have from him came from that, from him taking action on that and reaching down and making a point to come into your life, show himself to you, open your eyes. So it seems natural that it would come full circle, that you would be like, show me. Let me see your ways. I want to understand you at least a little more every day. So over time, as we do this time and time and time again, what happens when you do something consistently? Becomes natural, right? Becomes natural and normal. You know, something that maybe like, evangelism was the topic today, right? So at one point where it seems so anxiety ridden to share faith, whether it's because of, you know, fear of rejection, don't know what to say, lack of compassion, whatever it might be, as you continue to do it, regardless of those things, what happens in your heart? You get set free. And all of a sudden, you have compassion. And you know what compassion gives you? Vision for the people in front of you. It gives you purpose to overcome those things that make you anxious. It gives you purpose to step forward. If you don't have that vision, is that a hard step? It's a brutal step if you don't have vision like that. So you know what? Just take the invitation. Just take the invitation and let him do the work. It's him who works in us to will and to act according to his good purpose. Okay? Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Man, this is like one of the biggest topics of conversation that comes up in like so many conversations I have with other believers. Like, man, I struggle with what is God's will for me? I struggle with that question sometimes too. But you know where the place to start is according to this? Let yourself be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to discern his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, accept the invitation. Because you know what? He came and he grabbed hold of you. You know, it says also, Paul taught this, that it is the goodness of God. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And what is repentance? Repentance is a change in thinking. You want to change your actions? What do you have to do first? Your thinking has to change. Then your actions will follow, right? So when it says the kindness of God brings us to repentance, it's saying that out of his goodness, out of his favor, he brings us to a change in thinking. And that change in thinking allows us to see his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Gives us freedom to walk and to know him. And that was the intention from the very beginning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Paul puts this so perfect, and this is why I chose to use the New Testament word here. He says that, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." What do you think his prize was? Naturally, it is God himself and everything that he promised Paul. He found his treasure in the Father through Jesus Christ. That is his treasure. He's like, teach me anything. I will go through anything. I have vision for something so much greater. So therefore, I will endure. So let's make the stories, right? Let's make the stories. I'm not going to necessarily go looking for it, but guess what? I'm never going to say no when you give that invitation to come to you and to learn. What is he inviting you into today? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Remember, we can't see the Spirit. This is only discerned by spiritual means, okay? We can't see the Spirit, but what do we see? The fruit that he's doing exactly what you read in your Bible this morning. It's right there. And he's doing it. And he's faithful. And guess what? He's going to be just as faithful with it tomorrow as he is today. And the next day. And the day after that. Why? Because not only does his faithfulness never end, his favor never ends. His kindness never ends. For those that have received the Son. In Hebrews, there was like, I really wanted to go in the story of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, because it's like the hall of faith, where, as they call it, where it goes over a bunch of stories, all these faithful people of the Old Testament that we read about, and how they had to believe for something that they never, a lot of them never got to see. It was kind of like the wind example. It's like they never got to see it. They got to see all the signs. They got to see things coming. Moses, in Moses' case, he got to walk right up to the promised land and couldn't go in it. He even pleaded with God. He's like, will you please let me go across so I could walk along the hills and see the mountains of Lebanon? just to see it. And you'd think the guy kind of earned it. At least I would say so. Except I'm not God. And God did not keep him out because he didn't earn it. Okay? There was understanding there. And when God said no, what did Moses do? He's like, okay. God's like, I want you to instead go up to this mountain. I want you to commission Joshua, and I want you to pray over him and get excited for him to walk into it. But I want you to go stand on this mountain, and I want you to look across and take a good look. And man, it had to be so satisfying for Moses, even though he didn't get to walk over to it, to see what he's literally been walking for 40 years. And now it's happened. And man, how many times do you think he doubted that they would ever make it, considering what happened? I actually don't know the answer to that question. Maybe his faith was just so solid that he didn't doubt as much as I think he would. But something kept him going. And so I'm going to read out of Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for a country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. And he's prepared a city for them. You know, Jesus said to his disciples, he's like, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. I'm going to make it ready for you. Funny that that was spoken. And the same concept was true from the very beginning. He's always preparing a place. He always has something in mind for those that he takes hold of, that he calls his own. Guys, do you hear that just the fact that your heart is drawn towards like spiritual hunger, drawn in spiritual hunger towards him, shows that he has in fact taken hold of you. No matter how obedient you feel or disobedient you feel, that's between you and him to work out. But no matter what measure you want to use, do you see that he has in fact touched you with his favor? And when he touches you with his favor, he births a spiritual hunger that's intended to do nothing more than say, now I want to take hold of you. And man, I'll let it go. Like if I got to let go of other things to free up my arms so that I can hold you, so be it. Because I found something much greater. That's what it's saying in Hebrews. All these people, they didn't get to see what was promised. And yet, they knew that this was worth the life that they give. Every bit of it. And even when God would say, no, don't cross the river, they still knew. And even when he said, commission your friend to go, but still you're not going, they still knew. And when he said, go up on the mountain and take a good look at it, at that which you can't touch, he still knew. And the Lord honored him. And it says that the Lord himself buried Moses. Whew. Can you imagine? That's what it means to believe beyond seeing. I invite the worship team to come up. One of the more practical things that I could do to like genuinely encourage you today, I am a strong believer that the greatest thing I could impart is just for you to connect with God better, apart from me. I hope that I can encourage you in that, and I can help facilitate or, and I don't know, whatever I could do, right? But it's between you and him and you. He's the one who laid hold of you. And that was meant to inspire spiritual hunger toward him. And clearly, by what I see right now, it has. like he knew what he was doing. So what I want to do today is I would like to have anybody who's willing, and I'd like to ask everybody to do this, but I want you to think about the things where God has really drawn your heart lately. What has he really been drawing your heart in? And I think the answer to that question, while there's a lot of similarities, man, it is so personal and individual. And I say that because I just know how specific he is about caring about people. He's so specific. He makes it so that like you couldn't copy his love to like someone else in exactly the same fashion, because it's so specific to each person. So I want you to think about what the Lord is doing to draw you. And you know what? If you feel like you're like, you know what, Nick, like I feel dead. Like I got nothing. Like, what do I do with that? Well, I bet you that even right now you feel something, because you're like, I got nothing, and yet I'm still stirred. If that's the case for anybody, I'd like to ask, close your eyes. This isn't to make it more or less spiritual. It's just to say, hey, let's get rid of the distraction. Close your eyes. And I want you to think about where the Lord is drawing you. Whether you've been following him for 30, 40, 50 years or 30, 40, 50 minutes. I want you to think about where the Lord is drawing you and trace it back. Because that spiritual hunger started somewhere where the favor of God laid hold of you. It reached out and touched you. The goodness of God came to your house. It showed up in your life. And it spoke to you. It touched you. That's why you're hungry. And with that in mind, for those who are willing, I think it's really important to physically manifest the things that God puts on our heart. Lean in. If that's leaning forward a little bit, if you can. But like, lean in as if you're like listening to someone who you know is just going to tell you something that will change your life. Lean in as if the Holy Spirit is whispering as he does. And you just want to make absolute sure you can hear it. And in whatever posture you'd like, if you want to open your hands, you don't have to even raise them. If you just want to open your hands, whatever posture you want to take to be receptive between you and him, talk to him about it. Tell him where your heart's at, honestly. And ask him to show you his ways, so that you could understand him more fully. Ask him what that looks like for today and what he's put on your heart. Ask him what it looks like tomorrow. And I want to agree with you in your request. And I want to agree with what the Lord has started and initiated in your faith that he will perfect as he has promised. And I say, Lord, bring encouragement and hope. Bring a reminder. Let the people remember where you have been good again and again and again and again and again. So that they would have vision to keep looking into what you have for them and to be willing to let your spirit lead them. If they're wondering about your will for their lives, Lord, give them the clarity to just say yes to your invitation and to be obedient to you, so that as their mind is renewed, they can easily discern it. I want to ask that you bring prosperity in spirit here, Lord, where maybe it's not so obvious from the outside, But man, is it obvious from the fruit. Let it be for every single person in this room. And I thank you that you give me the honor and privilege to speak this over them. And I pray that your word would go forward and do awesome things as you have promised that it does, not return void, but that it would go forward and it would seat just right to move their hearts toward you. In Jesus' name, amen.